Somebody asked me a shayla a couple of weeks ago that they had come from shul Shabbos morning and they were going to make kiddush and have a small suda, and then eventually they're going to have guests that are going to come a little bit later for the regular lunch. So the original plan was they were going to make kiddush, they were going to have a small suda, they were going to bench, sit and learn for a little while, take a walk, whatever it was, and then an hour later the guests were going to come. What happened was is that they came home, made kiddush, washed, had a motzi, started up a small suda, and then got sidetracked with something and forgot to bench. And soon after, the guests came a little bit earlier than expected. So the wife said, you know, guests are here, you're here, let's sit down, we'll have the real lunch. So the person totally forgot, missed the fact that he had benched. He had not benched at all. And so he was assuming that he was starting another suda, not remembering that he hadn't benched yet. So he got up and he made kiddush on behalf of the guests. Then he went and he washed until shidayim. Then he went and he made hamotzi. And then somewhere in the middle he realized, wait a second, I never finished my first meal. So that threw into question the validity of his kiddush at the quote-unquote second meal. It threw into validity the necessity for netil shidayim. And most important, shayla, it threw into validity the validity of the hamotzi. And by questioning whether the hamotzi is an acceptable bracha, that is now throwing a question, not just vis-a-vis him, but it's throwing a question vis-a-vis all the guests as well. Namely, all the entire guests were sitting down eating al smach his hamotzi. He was motzi them in the hamotzi lecha mishnah. If you're going to tell me this hamotzi was meaningless because he had just made hamotzi 20 minutes before and it had never technically ended that hamotzi because he had never benched, so then Igloi Milsa turned out that his second hamotzi was a bracha lebatala. It was meaningless, and now everybody else is eating without a bracha. So maybe the psach at that time should be everybody should have to now make new hamotzi. Everyone has to make a new kiddush. So it's not clear what the din should be. So this person asked me the shayla. That was the bad news. The good news is that he asked me the shayla the following week. So whatever I would have said, it wasn't relevant anymore to Maisa, but it made for a little bit of lumdus. So we spoke it out a little bit, and that became the background for tonight's shiur. So before we get to the intricacies of this shayla, we should just preface by saying, why would anybody even have this plan in the first place? What in the world is going to be gained by, in a sense, having this kiddush, little meal, then break a little bit? Why would one want to do this? So there are two good reasons in halacha why this is not such a bad idea to do such a plan like this on a regular Shabbos, especially in the wintertime, for the following several reasons. That Chatzos is fairly early in the wintertime. Now it's already close to 12 o'clock, but not all that long ago it was in the 11:40 range. And there are a couple of good reasons why a person would want to eat before Chatzos. One reason is because they're not supposed to fast until after Chatzos. The din is not allowed to fast on Shabbos. The entire day to fast is for sure asur. And even to fast more than Chatzos, past Chatzos, is also problematic. So the person would for sure want to make Kiddush before Chatzos. But a person could alleviate that problem very simply. Just make Kiddush, a piece of cake, and then go sit and learn. Why is he wanting to rush to go have a meal? So he may want to have the meal for two reasons. There is a machlokes that we've shown him about, for the purposes of Kiddush Makom Suda, is it necessary for it to be a Suda of bread, or could it even be something as small as a Suda of Mizonos, so maybe even a Suda perhaps or something less than that. So the Ikra did in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that even Mizonos is acceptable for Kiddush Makom Suda. That's what a lot of people do. They go to Kiddush Shabbos morning, they make a Bar Pegofen, they have a piece of cake, and they munch a little bit, and they call it a day. So that's the Ikra did, how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Nevertheless, the Warwick Yisharim disagreed, and the Vilna Gaon practically disagrees. So there are those who want to follow this opinion of the other Rishonim, the view of the Vilna Gaon, and they don't want to just stop and sit down and make Kiddush and have a piece of cake. But Imkvar, they're already making Kiddush, and they want to literally have a motzi as well. So that would be one reason for the advantage of making an early Suda. The second advantage would be is that even though in Shulchan Aruch quotes that Kiddush has to be recited before Chatzos, you have to eat something before Chatzos, Shulchan Aruch does not mention that the entire Suda has to be before Chatzos. Nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan has been dying from the Lashon Rambam that the Suda's Lechem itself has to be before Chatzos. You can continue to eat after Chatzos, but in order to fulfill Suda Shabbos at the right time, so you eat a Friday night meal on Friday night, a Shabbos morning meal, Shabbos morning. Morning means before Chatzos, and then the afternoon is Suda Shlishis. So in order to fulfill that obligation, in order to fulfill that view again, which is also not Me'ikim Mikradin, so there are those who prefer to have a meal right after davening, and a small meal. Why don't they have a full meal at that point? So they're usually vetoed by the wives, because the wives don't want to serve a full meal at 10:30 in the morning. So for those people who don't want to necessarily eat chul until 10:30 in the morning, on the other hand, they do want to make kiddush, rightfully so, and they want to wash, either for the reason or for both reasons of the opinion of the Gra, or for the opinion of the Rambam, of chopping the meal before chatzos. So therefore, there is a custom in many places that they actually do this, that they come home from shul early Shabbos morning, they make kiddush, they wash, they have suda shniya, and then they break, they learn, take a walk, whatever it is, and then suda shlishis is taking place rather than at 4:30 in the afternoon. Suda shlishis takes place sometime soon after the beginning of Zman Suda Shlishis, which is the question, either it's after Chatzos itself, or according to some, it's after Mincha Gedola, which would be a half hour after Chatzos. So many people say to Hayom and Shabbos, especially the winter time, looks like this, that they'll daven, they come up from davening, make kiddush, wash, have a motzi, have a small meal, do whatever they want to do, with bench, hopefully not like this fellow, bench, and have a little bit of a hefsek, and then have their lunch, or was halachli a Suda Shlishis later. In Eretz Yisrael, this is a very common practice. I remember when I was in Kamri Yavna, we used to do this all the time. There are those who didn't approve of this practice. Rav Moshe was of the opinion that he thought that it was more appropriate that a person should have the second Suda should be the main Suda. The Shal Shuda should be the small of the two Sudas. But again, not everyone agrees to that. It's not clear exactly why that should be so. But again, those who follow this practice are justified in doing so. But of course, this practice only makes sense if a person remembers to bench after the first Suda. If a person forgot to bench, then he's running into a serious problem. So in this particular case, it was even more problematic than just forgetting to bench, because when he went ahead and he started his third Suda, so he made hamotzi, and he was trying to be motzi the other people, the guests, for the hamotzi, and he tried to be motzi them for the kiddush. And the question is, can he do that? Because his kiddush was already, he had already made kiddush. His hamotzi, he had already made hamotzi. So his brachas were, in a sense, not really necessary. They weren't being yotze for himself. Can a person make kiddush for somebody else? Can a person make hamotzi for somebody else if that bracha doesn't relate to them? So that's really the background of this sugya. So the sugya begins in the first of the Makaros in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tesem, and Aleph. Tadi Ava b'reid Rabbi Zeira, Ava the son of Rabbi Zeira taught us the following brisa: Kol brachas kulan Ava b'shiyatza motzi. When it comes to all brachas, which Rashi is going to explain, it means all brachas hamitzvos. All brachas hamitzvos, even though I was already yotze that bracha, I can recite the bracha for somebody else. Let's say, for example, I already heard shofar, and now I'm going to blow shofar for somebody else, so I can recite the bracha on the Shemoko shofar to be motzi them in their bracha, and then blow shofar for them. Well, let's say I already heard the Megillah. I can recite the Bracha Mikra Megillah and then read the Megillah on their behalf. I can do this for all the Brachas HaMitzvahs, but what I cannot do it for is Chutz B'Brachas HaLechem V'Brachas HaYayin. I cannot do it for the Hamotzi. I cannot do it for Bar Pri HaGofen or for any other Brachas HaNenin. When it comes to those Brachas, She'im Lo Yotze Motzi, if I wasn't Yotze yet, namely, I also want to drink wine, I also want to eat bread, and I want to be Motzi you at the same time, that's perfectly okay. Let's say we do this every Shabbos. A person comes home, they sit down, and they make hamotzi, and then motzi everybody else in the bracha of hamotzi. That's fine, because in those cases, the person himself needs the bracha. But if I was already yotzi the hamotzi, I was already yotzi at brichas hanenin, I want to just stop make a bracha, brichas hanenin, in the middle of nowhere, just to be motzi you. So Rabbi Zeir's son taught us, v'im yotze ein hamotzi, that would not be acceptable. Then the Gemara just has a technical detail, boy Rava, Brichas Alechem Shal Matzah, Brichas Ayan Shal Kiddush Hayo Bahu. What about the Bar Pri HaGofen of Kiddush? What about the Hamotzi of the Brachan Matzah? So these brachas are a little bit tricky. Why? Kevin Dechovahu Mafik, because on the one hand, they're part of Brichas HaMitzvahs, so maybe they're covered by the rules of Brichas HaMitzvah that enable you to be Motzi somebody even if you're not Yotzei. Odubah Brachal Avchavi. Or maybe these are just plain and simple Brichas HaNehanins. And just as for a regular brachas hanenin, you can't be motzi somebody unless you're being yotzei, so too, these brachas are similar. So the Gemara says, Toshma de Ravashi, Ravashi taught us, Kevinim Berach Papi, when he used to be in Rav Papi's house, have a Makadosh Lon, he would make kiddush for us. V'chiyava Osi Arise Midav Rav Makadosh Lu. And then when some of the people, the workers who had been in the fields late in the afternoon on Friday until they got there, until they dav mayav, until they got to the Suda, so they were the late comers for the meal. So he would recite another Kiddush on their behalf, being motzi them in the Kiddush, in the Bar Pri HaGofen, etc. Thereby teaching us that the Bar Pri HaGofen of Kiddush is considered to be part of the Kiddush, and we have a rule of Ava Bisha Yotze Motzi.
What?
Birchas Yom is for sure okay. Birchas Yom is for sure fine. The Makadosh Shabbos, for sure I could be Motzi you, even though I was Yotze. The only question the Gemara was the Bar Pri HaGofen. So the question is, what is this based on? What is this halacha based on that I can make a brach of Amik or Megillah for you, even though I'm not reading the Megillah, even though I'm not Yotze? I can make Lishma Kol Shofar, even though I don't need the bracha, but I can't make Bar Pri HaGofen. I can't make a Motzi, with the exceptions of Kiddush, etc. What is that based on? Why is there a difference? So Rashi explains, and the second of the sources, Afa b'shiyotza b'otzi, sh'rei kol Yisrael areivim zeba zeba mitzvahs. Because all Jews are responsible for one another when it comes to mitzvahs, which translates to mean that I am still considered to be a mechuyav b'davar. I can only be motzi to you in something if I am chayev in that mitzvah like you are chayev in. So if I already blew the shofar, so I'm not technically obligated to shofar anymore. But since there's a din of Kol Yisrael areivim zeba zeba, I have a responsibility to make sure that every Jew hears the shofar. So it's as if I'm still a mechuyav b'davar. It's as if halachically I wasn't fully yotzei, and therefore I can still recite the bracha on your behalf. That svara only makes sense by birchas hamitzvahs. It doesn't make sense by birchas haperus, as Rashi says in the next line. Chutz b'birchas halacha v'yayin. When it comes to Birchas HaPeiros or Bracha B'Sabim, there's no chiyuv to make hamotzi. Don't eat the bread. You're not allowed to enjoy things in this world without a bracha. There's no arvus. I don't have to make sure every person eats an apple. Let the person not eat the apple and you won't recite the bracha. So that's the background for what we're talking about. So now that we know there's a difference between birchas ha-mitzvahs that I can be motziyu even though the bracha is not relating to me, birchas ha-nen and I cannot, let's go back to the shayl of this particular balabas. So this balabas was attempting to be motzi people in two brachas. He was attempting to be motzi people in Kiddush, and he was attempting to be motzi them in ha-motzi. So l'chora, the halacha should split between the two. When it comes to the bracha of Kiddush, even though it's just the bar priagofen, but the Gemara says that the bracha bar priagofen of Kiddush is elevated to the status of birchas hamitzvahs, so it doesn't bother me that this bar priagofen is not relating to him. It doesn't bother me that, in theory, from his vantage point, it's in a certain sense a bracha lebatala, because he doesn't need the bar priagofen. He already was yaitze Kiddush. He's not accomplishing anything with this bracha. That doesn't matter. Because since it's a birchas hamitzvah, the bar priagofen of Kiddush is elevated to birchas hamitzvah, so he can be motzi, the guests, in the bar priagofen, even though he's not, in a sense, drinking. Just as he can be motzi them in shofar, motzi them in megillah, even though he's not doing the mitzvah right now.
So he can take a sip of the wine.
No, but it wouldn't make a difference whether he takes a sip of the wine, because the bar priagofen doesn't affect him, doesn't relate to him, because he already made a bar priagofen 5 minutes before, and he hasn't benched. So there is no need for that second bar priagofen.
He purposely had Hesach Das.
So that we're going to talk about, was there Hesach Das here or not? We're not so clear that there was. But assuming that there was no Hesach Das, so then the bracha, if he would just stop making a bar priagofen on another cup of wine with no Hesach Das, that's mamash bracha levatala. So that bracha can't relate to somebody else. But here it's different, because since it's birchas HaKiddush, and as Rav Ashi said, that when it comes to birchas HaKiddush, so then I can be motzi somebody else, even though the bracha doesn't relate to me at all. I don't bechlal want to be yotzi. I was yotzi an hour ago with Kiddush. So just as Rav Ashi and Rav Papa used to do it, so this balabas could do it as well. So vis-a-vis the bar priagofen, I'm not so concerned. But I'm much more concerned about the hamotzi, because the hamotzi, even though it's a Suda Shabbos, the poskim write that motzi of Suda Shabbos is just a plain and simple brichas hananin. And since it's a regular brichas hananin, so we have a problem. Because how could I be motzi in brichas hananin if I'm not relating to this bracha? And it's not going to help for me just to take a bite of bread, because I don't need this bracha. I already made a bracha an hour before, and I haven't benched yet. So kol zman that the first bracha is still intact, the second bracha is a bracha levatala from my vantage point. Oh, so that's a tricky thing. So maybe one could have argued that Suda Shabbos is closer to the model of brichas hamitzvahs than to the model of brichas hananin. That's what I would have said. The Rishonim don't say that, and for the Gemara it doesn't sound that way, because the only reason why the Gemara singles out the hamotzi of matzah is because somehow the hamotzi matzah becomes like part of the achilas matzah, implying that tomorrow's meal, the Suda's yontif, the hamotzi of tomorrow's lunch, is not going to be yotze motzi. So the question is,
here's a different wine. Let's say he first had a white wine. Now there's a red wine. He can make a bracha, a different bracha.
No, if he changes wines, if it's a better quality wine, then he makes a bracha v'atov ha-metiv. But he wouldn't make a new bar priagofen unless he totally wasn't planning on drinking this wine. If a person sits down and plans on only drinking one cup of wine and then completely changes his mind later, then you're right. Then he makes a second bracha. But if his mind was kind of open to any potential drinking, so then he would still be covered by the original bracha. So is there any way to salvage this? Is there any way to make this bracha almost a necessary bracha? Our goal is to make this hamotzi a significant bracha, to make this hamotzi relevant for him. Once it's relevant for him, then we could perhaps turn around and say, now it becomes relevant for then he can be motzi somebody else in the brachas. So how in the world do you make an irrelevant bracha relevant? So we'll take a look at the third of the Rambam comments. So the Gemara in Chula and Daf Pei Vav and Beis tells us the following: Amalei Ravina, Rav Acha Brei Derava, Ba'amil Rav Acha Brei Derava, Rav Ashi. Somebody raised the following point: Ma'ishna v'tamida derav. What is the difference between what was just being discussed, a different shal and luchas brachas, from the statement concerning what Tamida derav said? Who is the Tamida derav? The Rav Barunav Rav Chanan al Tamida derav, Havu Yasvei Besudasa. These two people, these two Tamidim, Rav Barunav Rav Chanan, the students of Rav, were once sitting at a meal. Koya Lai Rav Yeva Sava. So Rav Yeva, the older Rav Yeva, was helping them, was serving them, was bringing them to drink. Amulei, and they said to him, Hav Livrech. They said, you know what? It's enough. We're done. It's time to bench. So they said, let's get ready to bench. Then Hada Amulei, and then they changed their mind. A minute later, they say, you know, Hav Lishte. You know, we're still a little thirsty. We'll bench in 5 minutes from now. Meanwhile, please bring us another cup of wine. So Amulei Rav Yeva Sava. Rav Yeva Sava said to him, Hakim Rav. He said, I have a tradition from your Rebbe. Rav said, Kave and Amah Hav Livrech, it's Leila Mishte Chamra. Once a person says Hav Livrech, means he says, Voice in the Vrach, he says, come, let's bench, get the benches. Any of those kind of Lashonos indicate that he's ready to bench, he is not permitted to drink any more wine or any other beverage. Why is that when he's not allowed to drink? So most of the Rishonim say what that means is he's not allowed to drink unless he makes another bracha. If he wants to make another bracha, maybe he could do that. But Osla Mishti Chamra means that Kol Zman that you want to drink with Al Smach, the original bracha, you don't want to make a new bracha because you want to make believe like you're still in the middle of the meal. That's not correct. Once you say those magic words, Havlam Livrech, once you start to plan to bench, so then the meal is over, the original bracha Rishonos are over, and now if you want to drink again, you have to make a new bracha. So that's what Rashi explains on the spot in the fourth of the Ramakamos. Kevedam Hav Livrich, once a person says those words, Galya Bedaita, he has indicated in his mind, the Gamru Sudasa, that he's finished his meal, Va'asa Lishtos Ad Shevarech Lefanav, and he's not permitted to drink anymore unless he makes another bracha. She'emitz the refas of Sudu Rishayim. Whatever happens after the preparations for benching is a new meal already, and it's not Mesiachet, the original bracha, he would have to recite a new bracha. So there is a machlekes that we've shown him about just how far this halacha goes. Again, everybody accepts this din as it appears in the Gemara, that once you say havlam livrech, you're not allowed to drink anymore unless you make another bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Rambam Komos quotes a machlekes about the following. Gama sudasa, whatever person finishes his meal, v'natla yadav mayim acharonim, and imamish goes to wash mayim acharonim, that's like the ultimate end of his meal, einu yochel lechav olishtos achivarach b'chas amazon. So then, it's a given, he can't have anything else to eat, can't have anything to drink, until he benches. But what if he didn't wash mayim acharonim? V'im amar havlam v'nivrach, what if he just said havlam v'nivrach, the lashon that the Gemara says in Chulin? So havi haschada, so that also qualifies as an interruption, as he's kilu, he planned to end the meal. But also lo lishto, so he's not allowed to drink, elim ken yivarech levtchila, unless he makes the bracha first, like the case of the Gemara. But now where it starts to get tricky. V'achila dina kishtia l'harash. According to the view of the Rosh, the same way that after saying havlam v'nivarech, he's not allowed to drink without a bracha, so too, he's not allowed to eat without a bracha. Because havlam v'nivarech is basically an end of the meal. So once the meal ended, all bracha rishonos are off. So just as the Gemara was talking about drinking, the Rosh's opinion was drinking is lav dafka drinking. It's just an example, something at the meal. You want to eat, you also have to recite another bracha. However, other Rishayim disagree with the Rosh. Aval Rabbeinu Yonah ve'aran, achila shayni. That there's a difference between saying that you have to make a new bracha on drinking and or a new bracha on eating. What's the difference? She'afa pisha silek yada bilecho, v'afilu sukha ha'shulchan, so the standards of being the absolute end of the meal and declared you can't even eat anymore, so that's much higher, say these Rishonim. Say Rabbeinu Yonah, say the Ran, that until your mamish washed mayim acharonim, you can continue to eat. The havlam levarach is only a hefsek psychological, it's only a hefsek vis-a-vis shtia, it's not necessarily a hefsek vis-a-vis achila. So again, it's a hard machlokes to understand why it should or should not be, but those are actually 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. How should we paskin la'alochem? It's also hard to know. Safi brach, it's hard to know what the din should be. But again, at least according to the first opinion, according to the view of the Rosh, so achila is dinah kishtia, and once you say the magic words, havlam v'nivarech, then it's finished. So comes the Bir Halacha in the sixth of the Bar Mekamos and raises another question that doesn't appear in the Gemara, doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch talks about two possible ends of meals. One is Mayim Acharonim, and that's the ultimate, that's the complete total end of a meal, L'chol Davar. And then you have a lower level, just the recitation of, well, let's get ready then, just getting people ready, Havlan V'Livarech. So the Bir Halacha raises, what about if neither of those two things happen? There was neither a maisa of washing umayim acharonim, nor was there a dibur of saying let's bench. But what was there? The chayim veisiach daita behedish lo lechol. He just had in mind. He's not eating anymore. In his mind, he thought the meal was over. Av shlo amahav lo levarach. But he didn't say the magic words. He didn't wash umayim acharonim. He didn't even tell everybody he's going to bench. He just thought he's going to bench. So the Mishnah Berurah gets very, very weary here. Gam ke nochon meod lizol lechadchila shlo lechol. Now, at this point, he really shouldn't eat anymore. Once a person is goma v'daito, that he's ready, getting ready to bench, it's not right for him to eat anymore. Why is that? The gamba zeh yesh harbi rishonim shesol lahachar b'zeh v'chanal. There are many rishonim who say that just as my macharonim is the end of a meal, just as havlan v'nevarach is the end of a meal, merely planning and goma v'daito to bench is also an end of a meal, and therefore, if you want to eat more, you would have to recite a bracha. On the other hand, the other Rishonim would say, your kavana, your intent doesn't do anything unless you physically, actively did something as washing, or you at least verbalized your intention, then the meal, just merely thinking it, we don't take that into consideration. And therefore, your brachas are still intact, and you should not make a new bracha at that point. So now the guy's in a pickle. According to half the one side of the Mishnah Berurah, if a guy was going b'dayt to the bench, he should make a new bracha. According to the other half, he shouldn't make a bracha. What would we tell him to do? Tell him not to eat. I'm not going to involve in the shayla bench, and then come back an hour from now, have something else to eat. So we would really try to stay clear of this kind of a shayla. So it's this shayla of the Mishnah Berurah, of the Bir Halacha, that may actually save things for us, for this fellow who goofed and forgot to bench. Why would it save things for the person? Maybe based on the following. That our whole goal is to give some credibility to that hamotzi. We want to give some significance to that new hamotzi that he's making. The way the hamotzi stands now, if he made hamotzi 20 minutes ago and hasn't benched yet, so that second hamotzi is a meaningless bracha. As such, as a bracha levatola, it can't be hamotzi others as well. So what we have to do is make that bracha valid bracha. So according to one side of the Mishnah Berurah, according to some Rishonim, that bracha is a valid bracha because once you're gomer b'dayto to bench, this fellow was planning on benching. He just never got around to it. He forgot. He got terayed. He got delayed. He got sidetracked. But he really wasn't planning on continuing the meal. He wanted to do what he does every other Shabbos morning. He's going to bench and then he's going to take a break and then an hour later, he just forgot to do that. So since he was really going b'dayto that the meal was over at that point, even though he never didn't practically get around to benching, according to one group of Rishonim, he was chayav in a new bracha rishona. So according to that view, when he made the hamotzi, it was a meaningful bracha. According to the view in the Rishonim, that he's not chayav in a new bracha, then we have a problem. That the bracha was meaningless, as bracha levatala, it can't be motzi others. But according to those who maintain that the bracha was meaningful, so then he's in shape. He's in good shape. Now how do we pask it? Even if it's a suffix brachas, so we have a rule, suffix brachas lahakal. So here we're going to tell the person, we're not going to tell all the guests to make a new bracha now. Because me suffix, maybe the bracha they heard from the balabas was good. Because since the balabas's bracha was a meaningful, warranted bracha according to one opinion, so once we salvage the bracha according to some opinions, we created the status of a suffix brachas. Once we have a suffix brachas, then that bracha is good vis-a-vis the guests as well. So we turn the tables on this person. We want to make his bracha good in order to save the bracha vis-a-vis other people. So that's what I told him. After thinking about this a little bit, I thought about it. It's a good thing he asked me to shala a week later, so I didn't have to pask it. But if he would have asked me on the spot, so I would have thought about it a little bit. I probably would have told you, misafek, that you don't have to make other brachas, they don't have to make other brachas as well. So then he started to check me a little bit. He said, what about my netilas yadayim? Again, that part is not relevant anymore because he made the bracha, done, finished. So he wanted to know, the mafrei, was that a bracha levatol or not? His bracha netilas yadayim. So I'm not so sure it's a bracha levatol, not so simple, because it may be part of the same cheshbon. Once he's Mesiach Das, so that becomes a whole shayla. If you're Mesiach Das, you now become obligated in a new netilas yadayim. So that's already a little bit trickier. Because even though he was planning on ending his meal, on the other hand, his hands probably didn't get dirty. I mean, if he would have gone to the bathroom, something would have happened. His hands would have gotten dirty, that would have been something else. But the hands were probably technically still clean. even though he was quote unquote mezich das from the original meal, so I'm not so sure that he should have made a bracha until Shadayim. The good news was that he wasn't yes me the shayla that he already had. So and again, it wasn't enough gemina whether it was or was not a bracha v'tala. Then we were talking over the shayla afterwards, and so people overheard the shayla. So then somebody asked me the following. He says, "What was he yotzei shalashudis with his lunch?" Because that was his original goal all along, is that he was supposed to, he ate his Friday night meal Friday night, he was supposed to eat a Shabbos morning meal right after shul, he was supposed to bench, take a walk, learn something, come back an hour later and eat Shalashudas. So he did all of that except he didn't bench. So since he didn't bench, he was technically still in the middle of the original meal. So just splitting a meal in half, according to most opinions, that's no good. There was one opinion in the Rishonim that maybe you could just split your meal in half. Just stop, start over again or something, and that's good enough. But we assume it's got to be halachically the end of a meal. So this is very, very tricky. Was this halachically the end of the meal? Because he didn't bench. On the other hand, he did something that was almost the equivalent to benching, namely he was planning on benching. So is that enough to declare that it's now a brand new meal vis-a-vis Shalashudas? So I don't know about that. I'm not so convinced that that's true. And again, we're not even so convinced that just thinking benching is even the end of a meal. So if you would have asked me the Shaila on Shabbos afternoon, tachlis, bottom line is, do I have to eat Shalashudas? I would have said yes. I would have said that Mikra din, you probably still have to eat Shalashudas. So we were able to salvage, I guess, two out of the four things here. So we salvaged the Bar Priyagofa, and that was okay, because that was B'toras Berichas HaMitzvah. It was Motzi Acherim, Yatsa Motzi Arva, so that's good. So he's good, they're good, no Bracha Batala, everybody's happy. The Bracha of HaMotzi, so according to some Rishon, we were able to salvage it, both for him, and once we save it for him, then it becomes effective for the other guests as well. So it'll be suffering, at least they don't have to make another Bracha. The Anatil Yadayim, I'm not sure I could help him, but again, it doesn't make much of a difference. Anyway, the Shalashudas part, so I'm not sure I could help him either, so again, probably he would have to eat an additional Shalashudas at that point. So in all the dust settles, those who want to follow this grandiose plan of doing these short meals on Shabbos morning, there are advantages. You have the Rambam, the Gra, and the Shulchan. There are a lot of good reasons to do it, but you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you remember what you're supposed to do. And Pashas, it's not a good idea for those people who do the stunt, and then they bench, and then 5 seconds later, they eat again. So that smacks of a problem of Bracha Shein HaTzrichi. You're not really supposed to do that. So there should be a real hefsek, a real separation between the second meal and the third meal in order to be a valid Shalashudas. It's interesting, the only time that everybody almost in a sense does this cheshbin, we know Er Peshchas B'Shabbos. So that appears in the earliest svarim, this kunz, because we have Er Peshchas B'Shabbos, our hands are tied. Because normally we insist on eating Shalashudas in the afternoon. The problem is there's nothing on the menu in the afternoon because you can't eat chametz, it's too late. Matzah, you can't eat all day. So you're stuck, so you have nothing to eat. So you have a few different approaches to that. So some say, so you eat other foods, you eat a piece of chicken. So one opinion Rishon says, a piece of chicken is also good enough for Shalashudas. So we don't like to do that. So we look for other eitzes. So some poskim say that you should eat two meals in the morning before the Zman. So we're not thrilled about that either because we hold Mikra, then you have to eat Shalashudas in the afternoon. So the Minhag Yisrael is we try to do everything. It means we make our two meals in the morning with a little bit of a break before the Zman Yisrael Chilas Chametz. And then after Minhag Dol, we take a piece of chicken in case the other Rishonim are right. But in our heart of hearts, we're not so convinced that any of the eights has worked. That's what there are some poskim who say that there is none. Your potter, Mamish potter. There's a famous comment from the Magen Avraham about this. The Zohar says that you don't have to eat Shalashudas on Shabbos. You just have to learn Torah. That's good enough. So the Magen Avraham says, "How are you talking?" The Zohar says, "How can you say such a thing?" The Gemara says, "Based on Sukkim, it's Shalosh called someone's deraisa. Of course, you have to eat Shalashudas. How are you talking? How can the Zohar say you don't have to eat Shalashudas?" So the Magen Avraham says, "All the Zohar meant was that in a situation where you can't eat Shalashudas, if there's mamish, there's no challah, there's nothing around, or a pesh chalas for Shabbos, there's nothing there." So the next best thing is you should learn. So different Torah is like Kiyal Lechem Levad Yichi Adam. Like the words of Hashem is like Lechem. So it's a Shasar Chagodol. So you're not Yaitse Shalashudas. It's just that you're not Mechuyev to. If you can't do it, you can't do it. So this is better than nothing. But under normal circumstances, of course, one is supposed to. One is obligated, both men and women, for that matter. Even on the short Shabbos, obligated to eat Shalashudas. And this eight of splitting up the meal and having an early meal and then a little bit of a later meal. So this eight does exist, and some poskim were big fans of it, other poskim weren't so excited about it. But again, it does open up the possibility of mistakes, and this particular mistake actually did crop up, but at least it gave us a whole shiur to talk about all the ramifications of this particular scenario. Okay, stop here.
Are you willing to speculate about something?
No.